had promised him that he is going to set him free if he would kill Hamza, because Hamza radiallahu anhu had killed Jubayr's uncle in the Battle of Badr. So he wanted to take revenge for his uncle, and he says to his slave, Wahshi, that if you kill Hamza, I would set you free. And then when wife of Abu Sufyan, Hinda, who later on became Muslima also radiallahu anha, when she finds out that Wahshi is preparing for that, so she promised him a lot of wealth, a lot of gifts, a lot of things, if he would fulfill that task and he is able to kill Hamza radiallahu anhu. The biggest thing for a slave, especially in those who were in the hands of kuffar, the biggest thing for those slaves were a freedom, so that now they can live a free life. And Hamza al-Wahshi is non-Muslim, so he wants to do anything to get the freedom. So he hides behind one of the rocks. And as Hamza radiallahu anhu, after killing Sibah, was going back, he threw the spear at Hamza radiallahu anhu that got into his stomach and came out of his back. Hamza radiallahu anhu fell down and he passed away. But still, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in were going further and further until the kuffar started running away. When these kuffar of Quraysh started running away, and imagine that these warriors and these strong people who came with their wives, many of them, they brought their wives, they brought their mothers, and that was the reason for them to bring their women, that they are not going to run away. They are leaving them in the field and running away. Khalid bin Walid, who was of course with the kuffar and he was leading them, he noticed, and he was very sharp with these things, he noticed that those 50 people that were blocking the entrance from the back of the mountain, from the back of the army, they left their position and went down. So quickly now he is leading the 100 people on horses, so he takes a U-turn, he goes from behind the mountain. And while Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, some of them are running behind the kuffar, and most of them are collecting the booty. So they had put their weapons down, they had put their swords away, they put their spears away, they put their arrows away, they don't have nothing in them on them. All of a sudden, they get attacked from the back. There were only 10 Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in that were standing there. Their leader was Jubayr ibn Mut'im, and only 9 more people that stood there with him. The rest of the 40 people went down. Jubayr ibn Mut'im tried to explain to them that you're not supposed to leave. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us we should not leave. But these people said that was only because there was a fear that these people are going to attack from the back. Now these people are running away. The war is over. That's it. It's done. It was for the war during the time of the battle. Now the battle is over. So they went down. Khalid bin Walid came from the back and they had a fight with these 10 people, but what could 10 people do with those 100 people that are coming on their horses? And all 10 of them were murdered. And now when they attacked from the back, rest of the kuffar saw that these people have attacked from the back, so they turned back and they started attacking the Muslims from the front. Now these people, these Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, who don't have their spears, they don't have their swords, they have nothing on them, they were trapped in between, in the middle, and they didn't know what's happening. So they just started running back and forth, running here and there, trying to find a place to at least see what's happening. Meanwhile, because whoever had the sword and whoever could grab any sword, they just pick it up and they start killing people around them because they are attacked from all around. Huzayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu saw that there were a few of the Sahaba that are attacking a person. And as I said, you know, it's all of a sudden they were attacked, they don't know what's happening, so they just try to move the sword and kill anyone that is around them. And Huzayfa ibn al-Yaman calls, wait, this is my father. No one heard him. And who would hear in that situation? And by the time Huzayfa gets over there, his father al-Yaman was killed on the hands of some Sahaba Ridwanullah al-Majma'in, and he was a Sahabi. But they never knew. This was the situation of Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiyallahu anhu that we just talked about, he was holding the flag of the Muslims and they attacked him. He was murdered and he resembled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So some of the kuffar, when they saw Mus'ab, they went back and announced that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been killed. When they announced that, of course, those Sahaba who were trying to even defend themselves, they gave up. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is murdered. Now we have nothing to do. I mean, no reason of doing anything anymore. That's it. Let's just stop. Let's give up. So they started going away and making their way so that they can get towards Medina Munawwara. They don't want to fight anymore. That's it. We are done. So they're just making their way out. Some others thought, if he is murdered, then there is nothing for us to get by living anymore, so let's do whatever we can and just fight. And some of them, upon hearing this news, it was such a heavy news for them, and such disturbing news that they couldn't even think nothing, and they just sat there, right there, they just sat there. They couldn't think what to do anymore. And the kuffar taking the opportunity and they're just continuing the killing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was by the mountain. And there were some sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in there with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, he happened to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing by the mountain. And he announced to let the sahaba know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have not been killed. So he announced that, "O people, the Prophet of Allah is by the mountain. Go gather over there." So sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi wa sallam started gathering around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But at the same time, the kuffar also heard it. So now they started targeting that area, because their main target was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even the kuffar started targeting their area, that area, and they started going over there to attack Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The brother of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, who was a great sahabi, one of al-Ashr al-Mubashshara, but his brother was not a Muslim, Utbah ibn Abi Waqqas. He picked up a big stone and he threw it at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by which that hit the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and brought the tooth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Meanwhile, another person came who was known for his bravery and his strength among the Quraysh, whose name was Ibn Umayyah. And some narrations say Ibn Qum'ah. Ibn Qumayyah, he attacked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his arrow and with his sword. And he hit it so strong on the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing a helmet that was covering the face, a portion of the face. So some of the links, metal links of that helmet went into Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's cheek. And they got stuck in there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started bleeding. 14 sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in were around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this time. So they said, "Ya Rasulullah, let's go towards the mountain so that you can find a place to rest," because he was bleeding bad. So that he can find a place to rest. While he's going that direction, there was a ditch over there that he did not see, and he fell into the ditch. And that was a very deep hole in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell. So Talha radiyallahu anhu, he quickly jumped into the ditch and he carries Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his shoulders. Ali radiyallahu anhu held the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and got him out. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time said, "Awjaba Talha. Jannah is guaranteed for Talha." Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got there to a safe position in one of the areas of the mountain, and sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in started gathering around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "That was the day when I saw few people. They're fighting in such a way that I never expected, never thought someone could be that strong and that brave." And one of them was a sahabiyah with the name Umara. رضي الله عنها. This is her nickname and her real name is Nasiba. عمارة نسيبة رضي الله عنها. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says, any direction I would look, when I would see that people are trying to attack me from the right hand side, I would see عمارة fighting them. Then people are attacking me from the left hand side and I see عمارة is there and she's trying to fight these people. Then I see people in front of me and they're trying to attack me from the front and I see عمارة is standing over there and fighting them. People are trying to attack from the back and I see عمارة going there and she's fighting them. Any direction and groups of kuffar coming together at the same time and عمارة goes single-handed, she is fighting those people. Ibn Qumayya, when he attacked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, then his plan was to continue. And the person who drove him away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was عمارة radiallahu anha, Nasiba radiallahu anha. The other sahabi was Talha bin Ubaidillah. Because when the kuffar knew that still most of the sahaba are away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so they started showering their arrows towards the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For all around, they just started throwing their arrows and it was just like a shower of an arrows towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Talha radiallahu anhu used his hand and he put it in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face. And all the arrows are getting into his hand. But he would never move his hand. Until when he could not move his hand anymore and his head fell, then he comes and he puts his back. On one side, Talha radiallahu anhu is standing there with his back towards the kuffar and is facing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taking all the arrows on his back. And on the other side, Abu Qatada ibn al-Nu'man radiallahu anhu is taking the arrows on his back. This was their love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not that someone is pulling their hair. It's not that someone is just pulling their nails out. It's not that someone is pinching them with a needle. And we know what happens to us. Just thinking that I'm going to have a shot today. And here these sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in are taking their arrows on the back, protecting the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was bleeding heavy, there was a sahabi whose name was Malik ibn Sinan. He had heard earlier that if the blood of the Prophet sheds on the ground, then the adab of Allah comes. So he determined that I'm not going to allow the blood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to shed on the ground. So what he was doing, how can he do it? He's trying to wipe it clean. And now his hands are full, so he puts his tongue on the wound of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By doing that, he's pressing it and it's stopping the blood from coming out, but at the same time, whatever blood comes out is going into his mouth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him at the end, since you have the blood of the Prophet as part of your body, the hellfire is haram for you, it can never touch you. Because the hellfire cannot touch the blood of a prophet. And that becomes part of your body. As Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in started assembling around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, now the kuffar of Quraysh, for some reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the fear in their heart and they started having some fear in their heart that these people have gathered together again and the same thing may happen to us what happened earlier. Because they had seen what happened to them at the beginning and they were running away. But the situation changed, so that now they came back and attacked. But as Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in started gathering around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those people, they just stopped. If you look at the history, it's a question that I see a lot of time people when they talk about the seerah and they talk about the Battle of Uhud. I see them, they don't even talk about this point and they don't cover this topic at all of how did the Battle of Uhud end? A very important question. How did the Battle of Uhud end? If it ended at the victory of the kuffar that they were killing, how come they didn't kill the rest of the people and didn't capture not a single person? 70 of their people were captured during the Battle of Badr. What was the reason they didn't capture a single person from the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, إِذْ يُغَشِّيكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمَنَةً مِّنْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His ways are amazing. Something that if we try to use our brain, our mind, it doesn't work. It doesn't function. Gives up. That's it. That end. You can see what's behind there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a rahmah on sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in. He says, I sent sleep over them. So now these sahaba like Talha radiallahu anhu says that I was so sleepy, people are fighting us. We're standing there. I'm so sleepy that I pick up my sword, I lift my hand, and the next thing I know is my hand is down and I'm sleeping. While I'm standing. And this was the situation of all the sahaba. Quran says in Surah Al-Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed 60 ayahs. 60 ayahs regarding the battle of Uhud. And you can understand that if we just go through these ayahs, we need a long time just going to go through the translation of the ayahs. 60 ayahs about the battle of Uhud. And part of those ayahs is, إِذْ يُغَشِّيكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمَنَةً مِّنْ. Remember when He was sending the sleep over you people as a peace from His on His behalf. And then it started raining. وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً لِيُطَهِّرَكُم بِهِ وَيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ رِزَ الشَّيْطَانِ. He was sending the water also on you people. So as the sleep is coming over the Sahaba, at the same time fear is coming on the Kuffar. So they are getting fear in their heart and Sahaba are getting sleep. They are just falling asleep. In the battlefield, who would fall asleep? You know, even days before that you can't go to sleep. Just thinking about what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do, this is what will happen, what if this will happen. And here they are sleeping in the battlefield. Anyway, when the kuffar saw that these sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een have gathered around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so they just gave up. All of a sudden they just stopped and they backed up. Then Abu Sufyan came out. He is the leader, he is the commander-in-chief. And he asked, he announced, Afikum Muhammad? Is Muhammad there? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi wa ajma'in, La tujibu. Don't reply, don't respond to him. Then he asked, Afikum Abu Bakr? Is Abu Bakr there? No one responded. Then he asked, Afikum Umar? Is Umar there? No reply, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba, don't respond. Umar radiallahu anhu, especially when his name was called, he said, Ya Rasulullah, please, let me just tell him, I'm here. He said, no, you can't.